It is time right now for Brian Ross and Real News here on Robinhood Radio. Brian joins us every Thursday morning, and we also rebroadcast it during the weekend. Happy Thanksgiving and good morning, Brian.
And to you as well, Marshall. A lot to be thankful for, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, we have tons. I was just sitting here, and we have tons of bad news out there. I mean, there's lots of bad news from things that are going on, but there's also the good news of the spirit and the will of people, of Americans, families gathering, even though in smaller sizes gathering. So there is good news out there, and I don't know, but yesterday I watched Joe Biden give his address to the nation, and Donald Trump will, I think, give one today. But yesterday, the comparisons between Joe Biden and Donald Trump couldn't be more truthful.
I mean, they were amazing. If you heard the sort of scratchy phone conversation Mr. Trump had with the Republicans in Pennsylvania, meeting at the Wyndham Hotel in Gettysburg, with another effort to sort of undercut the results of the election and to deny reality, frankly.
You know, it was interesting to see that. First of all, with all the resources that is at his hand, I've said this ever since Donald Trump has been president. The problem with being your own boss for your whole life, like me now, since I've started my own station with Jill, since Jill and I started this back 11, 12 years ago, I don't know if I could ever go back and work for somebody else, because I kind of treat myself kind of nice.
Right.
But when you're president, the people around you should protect you from appearing to be foolish. The president could have set up with his staff and with his budget a much better way to get his message across to those people, who, by the way, were all maskless. Rudy Giuliani had his mask on a few times at that meeting. But then when you compared what Donald Trump had to say, and when you would compare it to the speech that Joe Biden gave, and then later in the evening those people came to visit Trump at the White House, you see the difference between the two men. And I'm not only going to say between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, but probably between any politician who has put a vested interest in the public, in the way they approach the American public, especially approaching a holiday like this. It was just an amazing comparison of one personality that is just totally different than the other.
It could not have been more stark, it seems to me, and I think that one of the things to be thankful for is that the temperature in the country seems to be slowly receding a bit. We're at a lower temperature, and the president-elect has set the right tone, I think, in terms of we're not each other's enemies. We're fighting the virus, not each other. And that's the message that I think helped him win the election and will help him get through this transition, and then we'll see what happens once politics comes to play again, you know, in the next in term of the president, the inauguration, January 2021. We'll see what happens by Mitch McConnell. And, you know, so much will ride on the outcome of that special Senate vote in Georgia with two seats up. And that is the focus. And, you know, frankly, many Republicans are just astounded at Trump essentially hurting their efforts in Georgia with his continued harping about the election being stolen, accusing, you know, the Republican Secretary of State in Georgia of being part of a big conspiracy with the pharmaceutical companies and the nasty media.
And don't forget Chavez. Now, that's another thing that and once again, for the people around Donald Trump to allow that to happen, to allow that woman to get up and say what she said.
Sidney Powell, just stunning.
Yeah, you just don't understand how, you know, even if you're going to lose your job, you've got to look at Mr. President, this is not a woman that you want to put up on a national stage saying these things. I mean, someone has got to have the intestinal fortitude to tell a president certain things you just can't do.
Well, clearly they don't have that intestinal fortitude. And the only reason she's there is because she's one of the few lawyers in the country who actually say what he wants to hear. And that's, you know, I've talked to people who worked for him early on and through the administration, and it's like, you know, you don't want to go in there with bad news. You just can't do it or keep your job. At this point, everybody around him is looking for a job. You know, he's got his wealth or whatever's left of it. and he's got his problems coming, but the people around him have to think about their jobs. The politicians are thinking about 4 years from now. You know, so many Republicans are just sort of angry at him now that he is going to cut off all the oxygen for any other candidate in 4 years. You know, his talk of running again, he's all set to do that. You know, it sort of closes the field for everybody else.
It's an amazing thing to watch the changeover that'll happen over the course of the next 2 months. But there's a lot that can go on in those 2 months. One of the things I wanted to bring up this morning was something that broke late last night, and it will show you what consequences elections have, as the Supreme Court, in a 5-4 ruling, sided with religious groups in a dispute over COVID-19 restrictions in New York. That's a 5-4 ruling, and that's one of the major things of when you elect the president. You are for 4 years putting the possibility of putting Supreme Court justices on the Supreme Court, and it reared its head last night in a first decision like that.
Did, and it shows with this new super conservative majority there, we can expect more rulings along that line. You know, that they would honor sort of the religious rights over the rights of the larger community to protect itself in health issues, and that's the ruling of the court. So that's now the law of the land.
And it's really hard to change that.
As you say, elections have consequences, yeah. And that was the most significant, and the thing that people who supported Trump can point to is like, well, that's an accomplishment, that's a legacy.
Yeah, and obviously, I hate to say this, but it's a legacy that 70 million voters like. Even though Joe Biden has 80 million voters, you look at those numbers, and I think when you add them up together in the end, we're going to be around 160 million people, 170 million people that voted.
That's an astounding number. America has spoken. Mr. Trump didn't like the outcome, but that is what happened. And it strikes me that in the end, if we look back on it, it was a pretty clean election. Nobody has found any fraud. I mean, they really haven't found, and Giuliani has gone into court, of course, to say this is not a fraud case. So there's no evidence of fraud whatsoever, despite whatever anybody else may think or what the president may tweet. They're calling these law cases tweets with a filing fee.
You know, and I think what the election also showed is that if Americans are given the chance to vote with mail-in ballots, with early voting, that we won't get those 40% to 50% turnouts. We'll get the 60% to 70% turnouts. I really do believe that. I think once Americans become used to this way of voting, and that's what makes this election so different to me, is that you added all these new ways for people to vote in, and you still had the outside agitators from China, Iran, and Russia. But still, this election, really, because of all the people that work in these elections, local and national, went off unbelievably well.
Absolutely. And, you know, there was a small group working behind the scenes without really much sort of visibility to keep the White House out of its way, that worked to stop foreign interference with ways that we'll only learn about later. But I've given some indication that they've been working hard to shut down the Russia operation out of St. Petersburg and stop whatever the Iran or China were trying to do. So we're going to hear about that in the coming days or months, about what happened behind the scenes. But there were patriots, really, in the government who worked hard to do that.
Now, the thing that we'll wrap up on is the pardon yesterday given once again, and another pardon which will be coming up by the president. And one thing I have to say about that is you have to live with presidential pardons. Every president makes them. As a matter of fact, Barack Obama made over 2,000 pardons in his term. And every president makes a few controversial pardons. But I think we're going to set a record in the next 2 months.
Especially if he pardons himself, and that's going to be a court issue. And does he give a pardon? And you can give a pardon in advance before somebody's charged to Ivanka and to Jared and to others around him who could face possible consequences for their acts. or for their sort of business activities. As we've said before in this program, Miles, the investigations out of New York by the Attorney General of New York and the Manhattan District Attorney are very serious and are of real consequence to Mr. Trump, and he's right to be worried about them.
And Michael Flynn, what somebody pointed out when they were absolutely correct yesterday, yes, he got his pardon, but also he did not get his case exonerated. When you receive a pardon,
right,
that means you were guilty of what
right.
you were charged with. So he will forever be stained with the being guilty with what he was charged for, just not in prison. That's all for those
charges. That's right. He is a criminal. That's the bottom line.
Well, you know, I want you and your family to have a happy Thanksgiving.
Same for you, and we're very thankful to be here and share, and I'm very thankful to join you every Thursday morning. It's been a real blast.
All right. Well, we'll speak to you next week, Brian. Have
you
a great Thanksgiving.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Brian Ross, Real News here on Robin Hood Radio.